This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
You can see behind me, the wall is a powerful reminder of the incredible sacrifice of American men and women in uniform. And as we honor them, the fight continues in helping the next generation of veterans. I caught up with the Senior Vice Commander in Chief of the VFW, BJ Lawrence, as well as the Senior Vice President of Military Affairs at USAA, Vice Admiral John Byrd, to find out more. Take a look. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. Admiral Byrd, I want to start with you. Where are we today? Obviously, on a very special holiday today and into tomorrow. There's hundreds of thousands of people here on the National Mall. Where are we?
Elizabeth, great to be with you. We're located here on the National Mall, right next to the Lincoln Memorial between the Vietnam and Korean War Memorial. Behind us is this magnificent wall, 133 feet long, with 645,000 poppies, built in San Antonio by USA and brought up here for this three-day weekend.
All right, BJ, I want to bring you into the conversation because you're with the VFW. Poppies have a very symbolic meaning. Tell me why they were chosen to create this wall and why it means so much to you as well.
To the veterans of foreign wars, we adopted the Buddy Poppy in the early 1920s. We felt that that would be our official flower, memorial flower. And then and now, we feel that the poppy best signifies not only the blood shed on our battlefields, but it also evokes the memory and emotions associated with war.
Admiral, you and I have been talking for the past couple of days, and we talked a lot about the symbolism. And it is inspiring and sad at the same time. You said that to me. Why?
Yes, well, it's inspiring and certainly makes you grateful because you think that men and women in our country will raise their right hand and volunteer for service, willing to sacrifice their lives, and in fact they have. The sadness comes in that even today we're losing men and women in combat, and so it is a huge sacrifice, but we have to be sad that we've lost so many Americans, so many fine young men and women in order to preserve that freedom. We're grateful they'll do it, but it is sad.
Very sad. And BJ, you probably feel this too. You travel across the country. You travel almost 365 days out of the year for the VFW. You meet these young men and women who are sacrificing their lives to this day. Is it important that they know we're here to remember the lives that who have been lost?
It is. And, you know, Memorial Day for us, it's a hallowed day. It's a day that we all should pause and pay tribute to those heroic patriots that rose up and they paid the ultimate sacrifice. And as a nation, we must always remember to take the time out to not only honor and memorialize those heroes, but also remember the families and the loved ones that were left behind as a result of that.
It's hard not to be moved when you look at this beautiful wall. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for your service. Thank you so very much.
We hope to see you back someday. This is a really neat memorial. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, we talk about it as a holiday, but to me, it's like a holy day. And according to the Old Farmer's Almanac, the wearing of poppies in honor of America's war dead is traditionally done on Memorial Day, not Veterans Day. The origin of the red poppy as a modern-day symbol of this day was actually the idea of an American woman, Miss Mowena Michael. And in war-torn battlefields, the red field poppy was one of the first plants to grow. Its seeds scattered in the wind and sat dormant in the ground, only germinating when the ground is disturbed, as it was by the very brutal fighting during World War I. The practice of wearing poppies was further inspired by the poem In Flanders Fields. As you'll recall, this was written in 1915 by Canadian soldier John McCrae. He saw the poppies and burials around his artillery position in Belgium. Today, poppies are both a symbol of loss of life as a symbol of recovery and new life, especially in support of those servicemen who were damaged physically or emotionally. Memorial Day 2018. Never forget, ever honor. That's what it's all about in this holy day where we all come together to pause and remember those that paid the ultimate price and the families associated with them. We thank you for your service. This is Bill Martinez. We are live.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. You better stop.
Hey, for more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. It is right there as we come to you every day, faithfully, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. It is Memorial Day 2018 all over this country. It's 6 minutes after the top of the hour. We've got Paul Williams with us. Paul and Dr. Rodney Howard Brown have written a book. I guess, you know, timing is everything. And this book couldn't have been better timed in terms of being a wake-up call for we the people. It is titled The Killing of Uncle Sam, The Demise of the United States of America. And Paul Williams joins us right now. Paul, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Hey, thanks, Bill. Yeah, it's great to be with you.
Well, good to be here on this hallowed day. But it is a hallowed day in many respects, especially when it comes to the heart and soul of our country. I got to tell you, Paul, when I hear, you know, my travels around the country, and I'm very blessed to travel and meet with a lot of different people, one of the things that they consistently tell me is that they felt like in this last election that we were so close to losing the republic that they shuddered with the possibility.
Well, yeah, I've heard the same thing, Bill. But I don't know if the question remains whether the government can be saved or not, whether the United States can be saved.
Yeah, you go into something much deeper in terms of the paradigm, the commitments that are in play, you know, the bureaucracy, but beyond the bureaucracy, that, you know, we're getting a glimpse at this unelected shadow government, but this is something that's come up from time to time, which has to do with the raw economy and the levers of government that very few of us even have any sense of or comprehension for.
Bill, the thing is that this is the book that I wrote with Pastor Rodney is not a conspiracy theory, is not based on conjecture. It's a book that contains over 1,500 footnotes, 15 pages of bibliography. Almost every sentence is footnoted. And the footnotes direct the reader to a primary source, not a secondary source, not somebody saying this might have happened, but primary sources, to the Rockefellers, to the Morgans, to the Rothschilds, to Cecil John Rhodes, all based on primary sources and what they actually planned to do and what they actually accomplished, a cabal of businessmen and bankers.
Well, as you say, a small group of the world's richest families have taken over America's economy for their own ends.
Not only the economy, Bill, but they've taken over the State Department. In the beginning, this cabal, it started in London with Cecil John Rhodes and Rothschild and members of the British aristocracy. They wanted to reunite the United States with Britain to form an establishment that could take over the world. And that just sounds crazy, but it, in fact, occurred. of this of their society in New York under J.P. Morgan. The members were Carnegie, the Vanderbilts, the Astors, every leading family in the United States became part of this establishment in New York that was known as the Pilgrim Society. They wanted to the United States to reunite with Britain, and they wanted to gain control of all the world's natural resources. These men were very wealthy. They were wired. They were they shared many things in common. They were by and large all Masons. They were interested in the occult. Mm-hmm. And what this group in New York did was they formed a cabal that took over the United States economy by forming the Federal Reserve System, and that came into effect in 1913. Mm-hmm. And the Federal Reserve was neither federal nor a reserve nor a system. It was a syndicate. And they what most listeners don't understand is that the Federal Reserve is privately owned. Mm-hmm. They make our money. They produce an abundance of money. They can create prosperity. They can cut back on the flow of money to create a recession. They can make good times and bad times. They can create widespread unemployment or widespread employment. This group controls the economy, and they set up the Federal Reserve System. And the shares of the Federal Reserve are owned by people who aren't even Americans. By and large, they're Brits. Mm-hmm. And they determine what happens to our economy. So they formed the Federal Reserve in 1913. After that, they formed the Federal Reserve. They instituted, under Woodrow Wilson, who was one of their lackeys, mm-hmm. the progressive income tax system, with everyone paying taxes for the first time in history. Americans never paid taxes before 1914. Mm-hmm. And with these taxes, they were able to grow a very large government, and they themselves never paid taxes. They sequestered and squirreled their funds, their wealth, into foundations, to multi-billion-dollar foundations, the Carnegie Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation. And through these foundations began funding universities, colleges, secondary schools throughout the country. And by that, these schools and universities and colleges became dependent upon the universities for their funding. Mm-hmm. And if they didn't comply with the dictates of the foundations, the funding was cut off. So naturally, they complied. So in this way, the foundations, the same cabal that formed the Federal Reserve out of the Pilgrim Society in New York, also managed to gain control of the United States educational system. That's just half of it. After that, in 1920, they created the Royal Institute of International Affairs in London, and they created the Council on Foreign Relations in America. Bill, every secretary, in this way, they took control of our State Department. Every secretary of state that we have had since the time of Franklin Delano Roosevelt has come from the small pool of the Council on Foreign Relations, the nucleus of that group. Mm-hmm. Every single one. People would argue, they say, oh, well, Tillerson wasn't an actual member. He was a member. Mm-hmm. And he was also the head of Exxon, and Exxon was a prime sponsor of the Council. Every single person, our foreign policy has been dictated by this cabal because they set up the Council on Foreign Relations. The nucleus develops study plans, and these plans institute our policy, our foreign policy. From the Council of Foreign Relations came the Bank of International Settlements, came the World Bank, came the International Monetary Fund, came the United Nations, and came the CIA. And the CIA, most people aren't even aware of this, no funds are allocated to the CIA for covert operations. Not a dime. Mm-hmm. All the funding for the CIA comes from the CIA's involvement in the heroin industry. And this, once again, was by design. And this should be no shock to anyone who really reads books, because it's been verified time and time and time again. So, and the operations of the CIA aren't directed by Donald Trump, and they're not directed by any member of the legislative body, nor the Pentagon. They're directed by this cabal within that formed all the way back at the turn of the 20th century that directs everything that we're doing. And in this way, the United States has lost its sovereignty. The American people have been stripped of their freedoms. And Americans right now, by and large, you know, are underemployed or unemployed. 50% of them are dependent on the government for their existence.
Exactly.
And this is all by design.
Well, we're going to break it down even further as we continue our conversation with Paul Williams. The Killing of Uncle Sam on Bill Martinez Live. Stay with us.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. preparewithgcn.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow. A new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
You have been lied to. Generation after generation, time after time after time.
If you follow the money, then you understand why America's in the condition it's in.
Now, you created the Federal Reserve in 1913 through lies. You create 9/11. Through 9/11, you're fighting a war on terror. And now all of a sudden you go into Iraq, which was another lie.
This book will open people's eyes. Order now at KillingUncleSamBook.com. KillingUncleSamBook.com.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Remember, Bill Martinez live.
Hey,
It's the way you like us. Fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. We're back with you at 19 minutes after the top of the hour. A conversation with Paul L. Williams continues. One of the co-authors of the book, The Killing of Uncle Sam, The Demise of the United States of America. Paul, you and Dr. Rodney Howard Brown came together in writing this book. What drew you two together to do such an extensive, I guess, treatise on the history of our country and why we keep reproducing the same mistakes?
Well, I had written a book called Operation Gladio, and it was really a book about the unholy alliance between the CIA, the Italian mafia, and the Vatican. Mm-hmm. And after writing that book, and I realized that the CIA was their operations were being controlled not by the State Department, not by the Pentagon, not by the executive branch, but by other people, and that the CIA had brought us into conflict after conflict after conflict, and I realized that since 1947, when the CIA was established, that they earned their money, gained their money for covert operations from engagement in the heroin trade. When I realized that, when I came to read the old headlines from the New York Times, the bodies of our soldiers from Vietnam were being flown back to military installations, including the Andrews Air Force Base, with their bodies eviscerated and stuffed with heroin. Wow. When I realized that, and I realized that there's a stand down order in Afghanistan right now, that our soldiers not only operate under the very strict rules of engagement, but they're unable to enter or trample or destroy the poppy fields. When all these things, when they hit me like a flood, I went down to Washington, D.C. to meet a friend of mine, and she brought me to this patriotic gathering on the 4th of July that she dragged me to. I didn't want to go there. Mm-hmm. She said there were a lot of fireworks, and I figured, well, it would be fun to see some explosions. So I went to the fireworks exhibition, and there I met Rodney Howard Brown, who came from South Africa, and I talked to him. I talked to him about the CIA, and he was very, very knowledgeable about what was going on. And he started talking to me about Cecil John Rhodes, and Cecil John Rhodes was the diamond magnet. He controlled all the diamond operations in South Africa, and he became one of the richest men in the world. And Rhodes joined together with Rothschild, with the Rothschilds, and with people like Arthur Balfour, who was Britain's prime minister, and George Jeffrey Dawson, the editor of the London Times, and Philip Kerr, the British ambassador to the United States, formed together to form this cabal to unite the United States and Great Britain to gain control of the natural resources. He started talking about that. He said they formed the Society of the Elect, and he was saying that now that society is here, and he's seeing the fruits of it, and he was very disturbed, and I was very disturbed, and he said, we have to make the people aware of it. Mm-hmm. And that's when the book came about. It took 3 years to write.
Wow.
24 hours a day. Exhausting book. To write the book, I had to purchase over 300 books. To write this book, Bill, cost over $250,000, and not one dime goes back to me or to Rodney. Mm-hmm. It goes to the River School of Government. But a very, very expensive undertaking, required travel, required all that, and endless documentation. I've written 15 books. This is far and away the most important one I've written.
Did you have any sense of fear at any time, Paul? I mean, as you're, you know, pulling back the threads and you're seeing the underbelly of this controlling element of our country, did you feel like, whoa, you know, maybe I'm opening up too much here?
Well, fortunately, Bill, it already happened to me. I worked for the FBI for years.
Right.
I was a leading consultant on organized crime, including the infiltration of the mafia within the garbage industry in the United States. Mm-hmm. And I wrote about that, and members, including a state representative from Pennsylvania, who was affiliated with the mafia, took me to a warehouse in Pittston, and they beat the living daylights out of me. I ended up in the hospital, lost most of my hearing, and because of that encounter, I work with the FBI, but I'm Irish. I kind of like to fight. And it made me angrier. Rather than making me docile, it made me want to retaliate.
Right.
And after that, I encountered a plot to behead the prime minister and to blow up the parliament in Canada. Mm-hmm. I wrote about that. I spoke about that on a radio show, and I ended up being sued by McMaster University because I had a nest of jihadis there who were very much involved in this plot. And because of that, I ended up being sued in Canada for millions and millions and millions of dollars. And I had to defend myself. That doesn't sound like much, but look at, unfortunately, when you're involved in a legal fight like that, you have to liquidate your holdings. Mm-hmm. There was nobody behind me.
Right.
So I, because of my wonderful wife, we were willing to do that. So spent the money for the lawyers and I won. But after going through that, after being beaten, trashed, sued, abused, there's nothing. Right now, there's nothing anybody can do to me. Mm-hmm. So writing a book like Killing Uncle Sam, yeah, I think there are dangers involved in it. We name names. We expose everything. Everything's brought to light. It's unlike, I think, any other book that's on the market right now because it doesn't deal with the deep state. Look at this. Politicians. Mm-hmm. Bill, you and I know that. That's, whoever believes that is crazy. There's not a deep state of politicians who want to. No. There's a deep state of industrialists, of bankers, of people with incredible wealth, real wealth, not paper money,
right,
who control everything. Mm-hmm. And that's what's exposed in the book. And it traces the. It's really a horror story. It traces how since 1877, when Rhodes had this idea of a new global government, to the present day, and step by step, how it came to pass that the American people were stripped of their liberties, stripped of their stripped of the control of their own government, dragged into war after war after war, forced into debt. You got to realize right now that it's such a plan that the kids right now, including my daughter, they graduate from school with degrees in incredible debt.
Yes.
Incredible debt, and from student loans. Mm-hmm. And along with that debt, they might eventually get married and buy a house. And the house, once again, the mortgages, they fall into deeper and deeper. And then with their credit cards and purchasing vehicles, they end up as enslaved to this international cabal of bankers and businessmen. And they're dependent on the state. And all the time, the government keeps growing and growing and growing. And people say, oh, that's a good thing. They're taking care of you. No, they're enslaving you.
Exactly.
They're enslaving you. And until people break free of their fetters and realize what has really happened to them, unless they come to that realization, there's absolutely no hope.
Well, there's so much more to talk about that we're not even going to be able to begin to get into in much depth. The killing of Uncle Sam, the demise of the United States of America. The book is available at all the usual places. Paul Williams has been with us, and I promise Paul is going to be back because there's so much to talk about. The real reasons America fought World War I and World War II, the three steps that led to a secret state controlling America's finances and government. You'll want to get your hands on the book because all the questions that you've been asking, you know, the why, those little kid questions you ask is why the Fed? Why do certain things seem to be reproducing themselves over and over again? Why are we moving away from nationalism into this globalist mindset? These are ideas and, you know, this is a plan that has been laid out and is clearly spelled out for you if you have eyes to see and ears to hear in this book, The Killing of Uncle Sam. Paul, we appreciate all the effort and the commitment that you've made to bringing the truth to we the people and look forward to having you back on down the road here, okay?
It's great, Bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you. 29 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
If you are age 85 or younger, call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. Call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. Call now. That's 800-540-8816.
Warning. If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Interested in trading as a way to generate extra monthly income? Listen up. Before you sign up for some garbage program or awkward in-person seminar, you really need to hear about the online trader program that everyone's talking about. This is the program that allows you to get your account funded with someone else's money. That's right. Apiary Fund will gladly put up to $100,000 of their money into your trading account. And the best part? You get to keep 85% of the profits without putting in a dime of your own money. Apiary Fund and this program are growing like crazy. If you're looking for a way to generate extra income every month and finally learn how to win trades like the pros, just call 800-342-2968. Leave your email address on our voicemail and we will send you all the exciting details of how to trade Apiary Fund's money and not your own. Call 800-342-2968. And again, just leave your email on our voicemail to get your free report on how you can trade someone else's money. Call 800-342-2968. That's 800-342-2968.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live. When love
welcome back, America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Ramesh Arunachalam is back with us. Ramesh, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, Bill. Lovely to be back on your show.
Thank you so much to have you here to talk and talk more about your book, 9/11, The Unanswered Questions. I got to tell you, since we first had you on, the questions have abounded. Questions that I think that arise from, you know, some would say the conspiracy side, but we often maintain here on this show, Ramesh, that in the absence of fact, opinion rules, and the conspiracy that we're left with is because of the lack of effectiveness of the people that were looking into 9/11 and the report that they gave us. Basically, what people are saying instinctively is that I don't buy it. It doesn't make sense.
Right. See, let me restart. This is a good point to restart. This is my book is not a conspiracy theory book. I made this clear in the earlier show as well. Right. It focuses on the 9/11 Commission's investigation process. Mm. And says why certain lines of inquiry were not pursued, why certain situations of interest were not explored, and why certain people, stakeholders, and companies were not investigated. And that goes back to exactly what you said. Mm-hmm. The people who were looking at it and the kind of structure that this commission had gave it a very ambivalent nature. so that you couldn't get to the truth. So that was the most critical point. But coming back to the questions, I want to add another dimension to our discussion today, if you'll permit me.
Yes, please.
We have the 9/11 lawsuits pending in the courts. And I think this book can constitute very valuable material for those fighting those court cases. And I say this for two reasons. One is that there are a number of questions about the investigation that the courts can ask the investigation agencies. Now, if you see, I'm sure you've seen news in April and May where regarding the lawsuits, the class action lawsuit, the plaintiffs were asking the court to tell the investigative agencies to turn over papers
right
on the investigation. But so this is where I think the having the right questions, focusing on the right questions would really help. Mm. And I want to do that today by focusing on two aspects initially and then getting on to later things.
Right. Well, case in point, Ramesh. I mean, just to kind of, asking the right question. I mean, we're seeing this played out. We have our current president, Donald Trump. He brings up certain things. Like, for example, he says that, the Trump Tower was wiretapped. Well, we know that what he meant by wiretapping is a term that has gone by the wayside. It's not appropriate with today's technology. And so the community, the intelligence community, kind of mocked him over it and negated his point. But his point was actually more right than wrong, because what has been determined is that whether you call it wiretapping or whatever word you want to call it, definitely he was spied upon.
Right.
And so I only say that because in this particular case, what we're talking about here and how this has been mishandled by the intelligence community, they didn't help to really open it up and be forthright in coming forth with the whole truth and nothing but. They just took exception and wherever they could dodge the truth, and they did so, did they not?
Yes, absolutely, and I agree. And I want to add a comment on President Trump as well. President Trump is a Washington outsider, mm-hmm. so which is why he at every opportunity he's being mocked at, mm-hmm. right? So if you are a Washington insider, you're part of the old boys network. Then it's very different. If you are a Washington outsider, and I think if you recall President Trump's campaign through the election, he said he's an outsider. Mm-hmm. He's going to clean it up.
Right.
And hopefully he does. Yeah. Okay, going on to this, I fully agree. Yes, the two things that I think the court cases ought to focus on are, one is the NAS, and I've spoken about this, the National Airspace System. This is the information system of information systems that failed miserably on 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Because of which planes were flying all around for the time that they were flying around. Now, the question is, I think courts need to get to the bottom of this and ask, who designed the NAS? Who implemented it? There are many companies, Bill. There are many stakeholders. Now, you don't know what are the antecedents were. Who was part of those companies? Well, now, there are lawsuits directed against Saudi Arabia. But then the most logical way to approach this is to go and ask who designed the NAS, which companies were part of it, which stakeholders were part of it, and what are their antecedents? Are there any connections? Are there any obvious connections? And if so, who gave them security clearances? Why? And how can all that be explained? So this is a very, very crucial aspect. Because if the NAS had functioned, we wouldn't have had this tragedy. The NAS did not act on time. It was not effective. It was not timely. And this is something which is just not being focused on by the 9/11 Commission. And in fact, the courts are looking, in the courts, the 9/11 report is discussed. But what is not being discussed is the fact that there are certain lines of inquiry that were omitted by the 9/11 Commission, which could prove very useful to understanding who were all the people who were involved at various stages.
Well, hang on one second. Let me ask you this, because in your book, Ramesh, you say that the NAS almost had a fait accompli here, because they went into this saying that it was impossible for them to do the job and to really secure the safety of its passengers.
Yes, exactly. You've seen the quote, so you're asking from the quote.
Right.
This was a quote made by the NIAC coordinator.
Co-chair.
In the April 21-22 conference. So I think it's such a significant issue. The importance of that statement cannot be underrated, right?
Yes.
When somebody is saying this at a conference 3 years before 9/11, then you ought to find out who were these guys and what were they doing.
Exactly.
And what were their clearances? And what were their linkages? Did they have any foreign linkages? Did they have any investments from abroad? Did they have tie-ups with Saudi companies or the Middle East? Well, one needs to find out all of this very clearly, right?
Right. Okay, so you say there were two parts. This was part of the first one. Now, do you want to go on and address the second one? Go ahead.
I'll complete the first one. The first one is even more significant because when you look at the 9/11 Commission's vice chairman, Lee Hamilton, he spoke to the press media after the commission finished its hearing. And he said, look, the communication between Federal Aviation Administration, NORAD, and the White House was confusing and there were lots of gaps. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that was very important given that this was stated by somebody no less than the vice chairman. It is important to look at why the NAS failed. That's important. Second reason is that the general counsel, Daniel Marcus, of the 9/11 Commission himself in 2006 wrote a letter saying to the Inspector General of Transportation, saying that the communication was flawed, and the FAA, Federal Aviation Administration officials.
Ramesh, we've got to go to break. I'm sorry. We'll be right back. More from Ramesh after this.
Thousands of people contact InventHelp monthly about their invention or new product. Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Call InventHelp now. Best of all, the call and information are free. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential, explaining every step of the invention process. We create professional materials and submit them to companies who are looking for new ideas in your category. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review new ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We offer 3D modeling and animation, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to present client ideas to additional companies. Join people just like you who made the call to InventHelp. You have nothing to lose. The call and the information are free. Call now.
800-264-3150. 800-264-3150. 800-264-3150. That's 800-264-3150.
Here's important new information from the Diabetes Solution Center for you, a family member, or a loved one suffering with diabetes. If you have lost your provider, or if you need a provider for diabetic supplies, you may qualify to receive your diabetic testing supplies now with little or no out-of-pocket cost, regardless of your age. All you need is Medicare or private insurance to be potentially eligible. Call the Diabetes Solution Center right now for details. Just takes a couple of minutes. Our friendly, knowledgeable agents will give you free, no-obligation information, handle all the insurance paperwork, and make sure your supplies are delivered directly to your door for free.
Call U.S. Medical Supply 24 hours a day. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. Call right now. 800-597-9323.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish. GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS-certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA, insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live. Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez live.
14 minutes before the top of the hour, welcome back. Our conversation with Ramesh Arunachalam continues. His book, 9/11, The Unanswered Questions, as he was saying before, that basically 9/11 was set up. And the NAS, I know you sense probably in your gut that that had to be the case. I mean, how does a country like America, with all its technology, get attacked four different planes, leaving from four different places? Yes, it's complex on the surface, but you're going to tell me our intelligence community didn't know better? But yet the NAS, you know, as we quoted earlier, back in April 21, 1998, the NIAC co-chair and NAS Information Architecture Project lead said no one can do an excellent, cost-effective job by themselves. Dependency is universal. Optimizing each system sub-optimizes the whole NAS. We don't have the dollars and time to waste on duplications to ensure safety. Boy, I'll tell you, that echoes pretty deeply. And it speaks to what I was saying earlier in terms of some might say the incompetence of the NAS, or maybe the purposeful design for incompetency. I'm not sure. Those questions still remain. Ramesh, I want to give you the time to finish what you were saying earlier, because we had to go to break here. But I wanted to remind everybody of what the focus was.
Let me address your point and then go to my point.
Okay.
What you've said is very right. See, the NAS was very significant, and this conference was very significant. So if this was said by the NIAC co-chair and the team that was designing it, you needed to know who was designing it, how were they designing it, what were they putting in place, softwares were put in place, who had access, what were their security clearances. Now, all of this, mind you, all of this information during the testimonies had been suppressed. Now, there were three people from the Mitre Corporation, which was part of the NIAC, who testified before the 9/11 Commission. They didn't say a word about the NAS being redesigned or their company having been involved, or their associate PTEC, which had foreign links, being involved. Likewise, the Federal Aviation Administration officials also did not do that. So So I think it's very, this is an area which lacks investigation, mm-hmm. and which is why I'm repeatedly saying, and I hope that the plaintiffs in the court cases are listening, and I hope the courts take this up suo moto and orders an investigation of the antecedents into the NAS. That's mm-hmm. going to give you a lot of information, particularly Mitre and PTEC, who are part of it, what kind of relationship they had, what kind of clearances they had. I think it's important to know that. And I think, it gets back to your question. Every other day, this system works. Mm-hmm. It's worked before 9/11. It's worked after 9/11. Why on 9/11 did the planes fly around for such a long time? Mm-hmm. That's a question that I fail to understand. So yes. I think it's very important for the court cases to address that. Rather than merely asking investigative agencies to turn over papers, courts must now order investigative agencies to share all information on the NAS to the public. That's important.
Exactly.
Okay. Yes. Can I go ahead with
yes,
my
please.
Other issues?
Yeah, please go forward.
Yes. Okay. The second issue is, Bill, I think the most important thing is you again raised this issue. This happened in four places and four planes took off. Now there were box cutters inside the planes. How did they get there? So what do you do here? You talk to somebody must have been complicit, right?
Mm-hmm.
If box cut, either they were placed in before or they were taken in, whatever ways, somebody must have been complicit. Logical answer is to talk to security companies that were providing security to the WTC towers, to the airports, to the airlines. And I think it's very important to focus on that. Mm-hmm. Because, again, you could, this is, again, something which has not been focused on by the commission at all. Now, I've named one company, but then there could be more. There could be, because I've named a company which was involved with WTC, two towers, and the Washington Airport and United Airlines. Mm-hmm. But what about American Airlines? What about the other places of interest? Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to, again, for the courts to look at the security aspect to and investigate who were the security companies, who gave them the clearances, and what were they doing on 9/11, and what are the issues connected with security companies that led to a security breach. That's critical. See, if you talk of the NAS, you're talking of one kind of security breach. If you're talking of security companies, you're talking of a physical security breach. Mm. So both are security breaches. And I think understanding and analyzing, I mean, as you rightly said, conspiracy theories are not worth it. We need to go by facts. We need to go by antecedents. We need to go by clear facts. And I think for that, we need to get to the bottom of both the NAS and the security agencies of who was involved and who did, and what were they doing and who gave them the clearances. So it's appalling that somebody like the 9/11 Commission doesn't even talk to any of the security agencies. And now there's an added dimension there. If you see, Larry Silverstein took over the building, supposed to have taken over. Again, there's lack of clarity on this. But he's supposed to have taken over the building in the first week of September. Now, did he have his own security agency or was it the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey that was manning it? So these are questions that are not answered. So I think focusing on these questions and ordering investigations into this would be very, very critical to get the right answer.
Yeah, when you pick up, when you refer to Silverstein on September, you say September the 1st, he was to take, I thought he already had control of the building, had he not?
He had control of the building in July, but the security agency apparently continued, the older security agency continued till the first week of September, and then were taken over by him. That is one version that is there, but one is not clear. Again, one doesn't have clear, concrete answers on this. So, which is why understanding now that Silverstein was in control, now why would he let somebody else operate the security? Now that's the question that that comes to my mind.
Exactly.
So that needs to be investigated. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, plus he's right? He's suspicious anyway, Ramesh, as we talked about, that he, what was it, in July, several months before, he signed insurance policy that included planes flying into the building, right?
Exactly. There was a pre-signing insurance risk report, and then based on that, a policy was signed, which estimates the probability of a plane hitting the tower.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of interesting, isn't it? Right?
It really is. I mean, there's so many things, and including the other thing that's come out as well is that, you know, the gold. Whatever happened to the gold that was in those buildings?
Right. Yeah, whatever happened. That's right. And they're also talking of insider trading and a lot of those issues. But back again, not talking to Silverstein again was not the appropriate thing. Mm-hmm. I think the least that the 9/11 Commission could have done was to get Silverstein and get him to testify under oath and talk about his role and how this came about. Because if you look at the numbers, and as you rightly said the last time when we spoke, in any crime you follow the money trail.
Mm-hmm.
Here is a guy who put in $14 million and got $600 million from others, GMAC and Westfield, and then has an insurance signed, the deal signed for $3.6 billion, shows two planes hitting the towers as two different events, claimed $7.2 billion, and gets a payout of $4.55 billion, and he gets all square, and he saves some money. You don't talk to him. I just don't understand it, Bill.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that. I mean, I think there's so many questions to be asked, and there are so many, as complex as this is, Ramesh, as you write in your book. It's like they didn't do their job. I mean, and this goes again to our to our government, and was written in the foreword. It says, long ago someone said that the perfect way to bury a public controversy is to constitute a committee to inquire into it. So whether it's 9/11 or Benghazi or the JFK assassination, you know, here it is. I mean, it proves this line to be more true than not.
Yes, absolutely. You were very right. It has a lot to do with the people. There were people in the 9/11 Commission who were evaluating their own work, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was somebody who was responsible for building the wall, the so-called wall in intelligence between FBI and CIA. She was evaluating her own work. I named her in the book, right?
There were friends
and stakeholders who were on the board of Mitre Corporation, so Mitre and PTEC were never investigated. And it finally boils down to the old boys network, the insider network. And so I think the commission really, really passed out on this. It did a real shoddy job. And I think there are many unanswered questions. And I would urge the plaintiffs fighting the court cases, the families. And again, one final point I'd like to make. There are a number of firefighters who have given testimonies. They were not used. The courts must examine them, right? So the firefighters have suffered diseases. So I think it's very important.
Well, more questions than answers. And Ramesh, as always, we appreciate 9/11, the unanswered questions. A great read. I'll tell you, this will agitate more questions to be discovered.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did. We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $9.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever.
Hmm.
Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
Fellow patriots, my name is Todd Savage.